How many of us have people in our lives that have cut us off? They've separated themselves from us. They've turned their back on us. I venture most of us have. Most of us have someone in our life that for one reason or another, you know, something that was done or said or a change in their life or something that they've got going on where they've cut us off, maybe family members or friends or so on. And maybe the opposite is true as well, that there's somebody who is so toxic or so much of a problem in our life that we couldn't be with them anymore. We couldn't have a relationship with them anymore. We all have those people. And we know how difficult that is, how painful that is. We can relate to the father in the gospel where his son basically said, I wish you were dead. Give me my property. Give me my money. Because, of course, when do you receive your inheritance? When your parents have died. So he's basically telling his father, I don't want anything to do with you. I wish you were dead. I just want my stuff. That'd be heartbreaking for a father to hear. That'd be awful. And in some of these cases where people have cut us off or we've had to separate ourselves from others, there might be times when we're able to restore that relationship, where sometime down the road, a couple years or maybe a couple decades later, we're able to reconnect with that person. And there's a joy that comes with that, that when this friendship, this relationship with a family member that had been severed is able to be reconnected, be reunited. There's a great joy there. So again, we can imagine the father, when he saw the son coming, he rejoiced because this son that had turned his back on him had basically said, I wish you were dead, is now coming back, is now being reconciled. And so he ran out with that joy and embraced him. Imagine giving him a big old bear hug, picking him off the ground, you know, just in great joy for this son returning. You know, again, hopefully we've all been there. Now, when we look at this gospel, there's an obvious surface message that we need to be willing to forgive and to reconnect, be reunited with those who may have hurt us. But of course, like any parable, there is a much deeper message. And it's a much more personal message to us that no matter how often and how badly we turn our backs on God, he's always waiting to welcome us back. He's always there to embrace us and to give us his love and his mercy. Whether we reject him, we turn our back on him by just rejecting him outright. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want to believe in him. I don't want to follow him. I don't care about God. Whether we reject him that extreme or reject him through our sins. We turn our back on him through our sins. Because we need to recognize that every sin we commit is in effect turning our back on God. Saying, I would rather follow my way than his way. I would rather go the way I want to go instead of the way he wants me to go. That is what sin is. Sin is turning our back on him. So to receive his welcome, to receive his embrace, we need to recognize his sinfulness, our sinfulness. We need to recognize that we are sinners, that every day we do something that is a rejection of God, that is a turning our back on God. Now, sometimes those sins we commit every day are the little ones, the little white lies, the little, you know, just the you know, getting irritated with someone when they do something we don't like and so on. Those are little things we do. They still hurt us. They still hurt our relationship with God, but they're not as extreme. But then, of course, sometimes we commit the mortal sins. We commit the serious ones where we completely turn our back on God. I'm not going to do things your way. I'm going to do it mine. You know, something like when we miss Mass, when we say, well, I'm going to go do other things like hunting. Yes, it's that season. You still have to be here on Sunday. When we do that, we're saying to God, my time is mine, and I'm going to spend it how I want to spend it. And so if I want to spend it out hunting, I don't care about you. Or anything else we do on Sundays or Saturday nights. Anything else we do where we say, my time is more important than coming to Mass, to spending 1 hour a week with God. That's a turning our back on him, saying it's me, it's about me, and so on. The challenge for us is to be like St. Paul. I mean, look at St. Paul in the second reading. He is arguably considered to be the greatest evangelist the church has ever had. He was so effective in proclaiming the gospel that tens of thousands of people flocked to Christ. He converted whole towns. He converted families. He brought thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Christ. And yet, what does he say in our second reading? That he is the foremost sinner. He's the chief sinner. He's the best of the best of the sinners. He sins better than anyone else. And yet, he was the greatest evangelist. He recognized his sinfulness. He recognized the sinfulness in his lives. Well, we need to recognize sinfulness in our lives. Because our Lord Jesus came to forgive our sins. That's why he came. If we recognize our sins, we can accept that forgiveness. We can accept that mercy. But the contrary is also true. If we refuse to recognize our sinfulness in our lives, we will not accept that forgiveness. We will not accept that mercy. That's why it's so important that we take time to take a long, hard look at our lives. Take a long, hard look at who we are and the sinfulness that we have, and to work to root that out, to recognize that sin. And then to come back to our Lord, to turn back to him in the sacrament of confession and ask for forgiveness. And when we do that, we see in the gospel that when one sinner returns, the angels celebrate. Well, we should want a continuous celebration in heaven. That when we sin, we come back and ask for forgiveness, ask for mercy, receive that forgiveness and that mercy from him. You know, this is why I love the sacrament of confession. Because every time I get to celebrate the sacrament of confession, there's a party in heaven. There's celebration in heaven because yet another lost sheep has returned. And that another young son has come back to the Father. Now, whether the sins we confess are the minor ones, the venial sins, the ones that don't completely separate us from God, or mortal sins that do, there is still that celebration that we have received God's mercy and his love. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize that the sacrament of confession is so beautiful that we are sinners in need of God's mercy, and he gives it to us so freely, so openly. He wants each and every one of us to have that mercy. But there's an added benefit if we recognize our sinfulness. We will not be like the older son. You look at the older son. His brother has come back. His brother had separated himself from the family, and now he comes back. And what is the older son's response? Why does he get the party? Why does he get the fattened calf? Me and my friends can't even have a celebration with a young goat. Why does he get the big fancy party? Why did my brother come back? It's your son. The older brother didn't even want to acknowledge a relationship with this man who is his brother. You know, and we can see that in our lives where if we don't recognize our own sinfulness, we don't recognize when others receive God's mercy. You know, how do we react if someone that we know is a notorious sinner? They do something, we know someone in town, and I'm sure we can think of names of people who they're notorious for some of the things they do. Stealing or breaking into cars or whatever. And this person has a conversion of heart and comes into the church. How do we respond to that? Do we respond like the older son? What's he doing here? He doesn't belong here. He's a sinner. Or do we respond with joy? It's great you're here. It's great you receive God's mercy. Welcome. Do we receive him like the father, or do we receive him like the older son? If we are aware of our own sinfulness and the mercy that we have received from God, we will not be like the older son. We will rejoice when another sinner receives God's mercy. Matter of fact, that should be our goal. Is that more sinners receive God's mercy, and starting with ourselves. Ultimately, there is nothing in the world that can free us more than recognizing our sinfulness. Nothing in the world. Recognizing that sinfulness and then receiving that mercy, receiving that welcome from our Heavenly Father. May we recognize that. May we receive that mercy so that there will be rejoicing in heaven when we return to the Father.